You're listening to Jordan on burst.co.uk. As part of our series of programming on Time to Change, I have been lucky enough to speak to Dave Chawner, stand-up comedian and mental health campaigner for BEAT, the UK's leading eating disorder charity.
I asked my housemate, "Can you, like, do you know any famous male anorexics?" He just looked at me and, "Gandhi?" It's like, "No, mate," right? Because men are much more likely to get bulimia. That's another thing. Men are much more likely to get bulimia. Like, for example, Elton John was bulimic, right? So Rocket Man, it's all about salad.
So really, I just want to jump straight in and just talk to you about sort of your own experiences. How did this all begin for you?
I suppose, I think that's the thing. Like, I think everyone has mental health, but I think, like, mental illness, like so many other illnesses, can kind of creep in. And I suppose for me, it sort of began around 16, 17, which is sort of generally quite late for people with eating disorders. But I kind of, I sort of slipped into anorexia because everything was kind of changing. I've got exams, I've got coursework, I was moving away from home where I was happy. And it became a kind of a sort of coping mechanism. And it was only a couple of years later that I realized that it was one that was unhealthy, it was one that I had. And the kind of move to comedy was to try and use that in order to take something that was so serious and kind of pull it down off the shelf and break it into sort of manageable chunks so that I could try and make sense of it myself, but also help remove that awkwardness that other people feel in trying to explain it using humour.
So as a younger person, did you find that you sort of suffered in silence and didn't really tell anyone, or were you very kind of open about it but just kind of kept it? What was your way of dealing it on a day-to-day basis as a teenager?
I think it was a good question. I think, like, the answer's like twofold, really. I mean, like, initially I didn't realise what I was doing was atypical. I think you're so close to your own life that, you know, you might not realise that you've maybe gone off the rails a little bit or taken something to extreme a little bit. And it, you know, sort of the calorie counting, the exercise, the weighing, the obsession, I didn't realise that that was kind of conduit of the eating disorder. And plus, all of the stories that I'd read, I'd heard, always mentioned tiny weights and talked about people that were fainting and talked about people that ate, you know, X number of calories. And I couldn't relate to that because I hadn't got down that far. So I think it was something that was a kind of dawning realisation that I sort of had over time.
In one of your stand-up sets, you talk about how it's more often that men are associated with bulimia rather than anorexia, and anorexia affects sort of is seen as affecting more young women. Did you find much of like a stigma to do with sort of the fact that you were a young guy suffering from anorexia?
One of the things that I get the most is most people sort of say to me, like, if I'm doing interviews, like, what's it like being a man with anorexia? And I'm like, well, I've never been a woman with anorexia, so I never really know, you know what I mean? And it's an interesting thing because I think for me, one of the things I'm very strong about is it had no entwinings with my gender. I mean, the interesting thing is that, yes, recent studies suggest that 10 to 25% of anorexics are men. That is increasing year on year. It's been about a 20% increase in the past 3 years in terms of hospital admissions. And that could be a number of things. That could be with just getting better at understanding it, or it could be that more men are sort of getting it, or a kind of amalgam of the two. More men are understanding and able to refer themselves. But I think what is important, first and foremost, is getting people to that position where they can refer themselves, be it man or woman. And one of the obstacles that I've heard other people have is that, yeah, they think it's a feminine disease, even if that's something that I've personally not felt.
Yeah, returning to your own experience, so after a while of suffering from it, you were hospitalised. How did that all sort of come about?
Well, I'm very careful to sort of make that clear that I wasn't actually hospitalised per se. So I did go to hospital, but I was never inpatient. So so the nearest I got, to be honest, there's a lot of reductive elements in the stand-up in order to make the story more cogent and also flow. But to be honest, like, it's like anyone else, there were little bits that started breaking down. I never had one of those big collapses that you might read about in sort of the Daily Mail, or I never sort of was on an IV drip and a doctor sort of shouting at me, you've got hours to live. Just a slow kind of reduction. I mean, one that pertains to the stand-up is, yes, the coffee loading, which is very common. I started getting heart arrhythmia, so which is very dangerous because that can lead to heart attacks and dying. But I also sort of was abusing laxatives quite a lot, which meant that my potassium levels were dangerously high, which meant that at any time I actually could have a heart attack. I got osteopenia, all of my skin was kind of drying out, and it was just the depression really that kind of was the final thing that I was like, oh, okay, I've got to get this sorted out. So although I was in and out of hospital for various things, I was never hospitalized. And I've always had like outpatient treatment, which at the time was something I was really ashamed of because I never felt anorexic enough. But as I kind of weigh the score and as I'm sort of looking at it on the flip side, it's something that I can, I think that's quite, forgive the word nice, but I think it is quite nice because I don't think the extreme stories help. I don't think the extreme weighing and carry count and all that, because bottom line, anorexia is a very competitive thing. And if people read about someone else that had anorexia that was more severe than theirs, there is a propensity to think, oh, I'm not anorexic, so I'm not down to X weight. And it's not about weight, it's about mental illness. And you can equally drown in a puddle as you can in a lake. So it doesn't matter how thin you get, that doesn't mean that you are safe from an eating disorder.
So then, what was your transition then from kind of, you know, suffering from this to going, okay, I want to, you know, talk about it in my comedy? And where did that sort of all start seeding in?
I think that's been like quite a wobbly journey because I sort of started with that like 4 years ago. I did the first show like 4 years ago, which was nice. And it was great, but I think the pressure to be uber anorexic really got to me. And people would come up to me and say things like, oh, you don't look anorexic. And I was like, well, you don't look like a moron, but here we are. We're both wrong, aren't we? And all of these things aren't helpful. And I kind of felt that I had to be uber anorexic in order to qualify to talk about it. And as part of that, I kind of spanned myself out. And while doing the show, became actually increasingly actively anorexic, and I ultimately, you know, I knew what I was doing, and I was in a very dangerous place, but it was the depression that really got me. I was, you know, not able to get out of bed. I was drinking a hell of a lot. I just had sustained low moods, no mood really. I never really felt any peaks and troughs, and I couldn't deal with it anymore, and I started pushing people away because I was constantly aggressive, constantly angry. I had no attention span, no interest. And I went to the GP, and I was really lucky that the GP sort of got quite hard with me. And he said, look, we can try and treat the depression, but that's not going to do anything until you get rid of the anorexia. So you've got a choice. You can get rid of the anorexia and the depression, or you can carry on feeling like this. It was just a very hard decision to make, and I kind of went away for a couple of days and I thought about it and I thought, you know what, maybe it is time for a new start. And that's been the kind of the new journey, if you like, to actually do the show in a renewed way of just being more honest and more down to earth and actually accepting those faults. That, no, I was never the best anorexic. I never want to be. And now there are things in recovery, in inverted commas, that are difficult, that are horrible. And I don't think we should shy away from that, because I think accepting the good as well as the bad is a more authentic story. So I'm trying to write on that for next year, of a kind of recovery story that's not all kind of like rainbows and unicorns and sort of magic sparks. It's like actually a genuine sort of battle.
So how did you get involved with Beat?
Yeah, being with Beat has been great. So I kind of got in touch with them when I was first doing the show, and they were nothing but helpful and nothing but great. They kind of gave me facts, figures, information. And then as we kind of worked together, they sort of supported me more. Sort of they put me forward for awards at the House of Parliament in 2014, and I won that award, which was genuinely amazing. And we kind of like, you know, I think we've got very shared interests because the work that they're doing is incredible. And I'm very lucky in order to say that I can, you know, sort of represent them and be an ambassador. And the support they've given to me is, you know, awesome. So I've helped them from everything from doing shows together, like the one we did at the Comedy Store, to doing the videos together, but even also the less kind of sexy stuff. Of like, I helped them. I was a consultant on there, like when they did the website and stuff like that, because it's a really symbiotic relationship, and it's a lovely one to have as well.
Yeah. And now you're touring the Normally Abnormal show, and you've brought that to Bournemouth.
Yes. Which was one of the best shows of last year. So I did the tour last year, and then I came to the old fire station, which was really lovely, and then we stayed over, and it was great. I genuinely love Bournemouth. I went to uni in Southampton, so we went to Bournemouth a hell of a lot, just because Bournemouth's better, and it was really lovely to be back. So excited to be back again this year as well. It'd be really good fun.
Great. Well, finally, I guess, and in terms of young people who are suffering from their eating disorders, is there any guides you would say to them very quickly, just direct places you can direct them to?
Absolutely. I think for anyone that is worried that they're suffering or just wants more information, then it's b-e.co.uk. That's Beat's website. They're also very active on Facebook, Twitter as well. But I think being open, talking to people, and just having a kind of open mind is one of the best things. You can be a sponge for all of that information. So yeah, if anyone is interested, I suppose I should self-promote, then I've got the videos and shows and stuff, but the biggest place to go for anyone for health and support is Beat, which is b-e.co.uk.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Dave. Thank you so much for giving your time.